Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive. The Bills get back to work this week, getting set for their next game after playing on Thanksgiving Day. Next game is the Baltimore Ravens coming up on Sunday. The week after, December 15th, is now a primetime game. NFL announcing yesterday that they have flexed the Bills game at the Pittsburgh Steelers, Heinz Field. It was going to be a 1 o'clock kickoff. Now it is 8:20 on national TV, Sunday Night Football on NBC. The game originally scheduled for that slot, Vikings and Chargers, moves to 4 o'clock that Sunday afternoon. So the Bills at the Steelers, now Sunday Night Football on Sunday, December 15th. The Patriots have lost their hold on the top seed in the AFC East. The result of their loss to the Texans yesterday, 28-22 in the final score. The Baltimore Ravens at 10-2, Buffalo's opponents this coming week. They move into the top spot in the conference. Patriots also 10-2, but they lost to the Ravens back on November 3rd, so they are now number two. Tom Brady went 24-47, 326 yards, three touchdowns, one interception against the Texans, but it was a struggle for him throughout most of the afternoon. Brady 7 of 19 in the first half of that game. So the Patriots lost it on Sunday Night Football 28-22. And then the Baltimore Ravens coming to town, as we said. They move into the top seed now in the AFC with their victory yesterday against San Francisco. And the Baltimore Ravens are coming here Sunday to play the Bills. Eagles coach Doug Peterson said it's on him, the fact that the Eagles lost to the Miami Dolphins 37-31 yesterday. Peterson admits his team self-destructed and is now a long shot to make the playoffs. The Eagles now 5 wins, 7 losses. Dallas Cowboys are going to stay with their kicker. They worked out a few after their loss to the Buffalo Bills, but the Cowboys coach Jason Garrett said this morning that they will stick with Brett Maher. Maher struggled with accuracy, missed 2 field goals in the loss to the Bills, and has had 3 missed field goals in his last 2 games. They work out 3 kickers over the weekend. They're not going to sign him right now. And the Sabres home against New Jersey tonight at 7 o'clock. And that's the update from One Bills Live. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. On the line with us right now, happy to have our color analyst on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. He's also a color analyst on the ACC Network. Had a busy Thanksgiving weekend. We thank him for spending a few minutes with us here today. Longtime Bills center Eric Wood on the line from his home in Louisville. Eric, again, happy Thanksgiving. I'm glad you got a chance to get home for a little bit of holiday celebration yesterday, huh?
Yeah, we finally celebrated yesterday, and our kids are young enough that when I got home and said Happy Thanksgiving, I think they just accepted it as maybe it was Thursday. But
don't start doing that to them. You know, you're pretty soon you'll be celebrating Christmas in July and stuff because the kids won't know any better. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, now we are going to have Christmas at home this year based upon the way that's shaking out. But it looks like my bowl game is on December 26th with my wife. Which my wife isn't super thrilled about me leaving Christmas night, but it's part of the gig. Last week doing 3 games in 6 days was a lot of travel, a lot of prep. But then I got to enjoy yesterday off, enjoy some good football and family and friends over, and then lighter week this week just having the Bills game.
Well, the people are still chattering about the Bills win in Dallas. What sticks with you about the Bills win over the Cowboys?
Man, I was just so fired up to see them play like that in prime time. You know, Josh Allen, I'm not going to say I was worried before the game. I just wanted him to go put his best foot forward because for him, for all of us who have to do media in Buffalo, I mean, the national media's perspective on Josh Allen was going to be formed on Thursday. And he went out and competed like he always does. But he made some incredible throws, made some great decisions, and I was just so happy for him. I saw his girlfriend and his parents there at the game. Saw them afterwards. I know they were excited as well. Other things I took away from the game, I loved, again, how the Buffalo Bills made adjustments in-game on defense. You know, they get gashed coming out of the gate. They get down 7-0. It reminded me a lot of the Giants game earlier in the year where it's just a quick score and you thought, uh-oh, can we really stop this team? And then – really hold hold the Cowboys to 8 points, eight more points that were fairly meaningless at the time. They were playing very conservative on defense. And I love the ability of this defense to make adjustments in game. And that comes with having bright guys and guys that have been playing long enough. But it also shows a lack of arrogance in Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott week to week that, hey, we got to do something a little bit different as far as our game plan goes, or we got to tell the player something different than maybe we told him during the week. Sometimes an arrogant coordinator can almost stick with the game plan a little too long.
And they don't wait until halftime for so-called halftime adjustments, Eric, right? They do it on the fly, which is critical many times.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great sign, but, you know, the Bills have a bad drive. They come to the sideline. It's not super emotional. Guys aren't throwing their helmets and whatnot. They're so confident, I think, in their ability on defense right now where it's, hey, okay, they scored 7 points. Let's get back to the drawing board. Let's figure it out on the sideline right now and put an end to it, which just is, I mean, further displays all of Sean McDermott's, you know, we want the guys with the right DNA. Well, guys with the right DNA can do that, and it's a reflection of the leadership from the coaching staff and the players to be able to get all that done.
And Eric, on the topic of coaching, and you had a post up on BuffaloBills.com the other day that addresses, but on the offensive side of the ball, and I was thinking about it today, we're 75% the way through the season now, but just about the midway point of the season, maybe going into the Miami game, the offense sort of adjusted, and you could almost make the argument, Sean and his crew would probably never say it, that they waited. They didn't wait deliberately, but they saw what was happening first half of the season, the struggles on offense, and they kind of adopted one way to do it. Yes, it's a little no huddle. Yes, it's a lot of 11 personnel. Yes, it's this. It's Devin Singletary. But it almost is like they found their way after struggling through the first 8-9 games of the year and then decided on which way to go forward offensively.
Yeah, when you look at the last three games in the NFL, the Bills are around fifth or sixth in scoring in the NFL. That's a great, great sign. You know, it shows that they've been improving steadily since that rough Cleveland performance. But, yes, the Bills have simplified, and they're in a lot of 11 personnel with three receivers. A lot of it's no huddle, but it's not extremely fast no huddle pace. It's getting the defense lined up. And some of them, we used to call it a muddle huddle. So it's not necessarily – you're not on the ball right after the play. Maybe the linemen have their back turned, so Josh can relay them to play. The receivers are kind of hanging out around the outside. All those different looks puts a lot of pressure on the defense. But when you're as multiple as the Bills were early in the season, and I think that's one of their strengths is how multiple they can be on offense. But when you're that multiple, throughout the week, you only have so much time to practice that stuff. And when you have 9 new starters, we often talked about on air, John, I think some of it's continuity that they're not able to put up the points that we expected them to be able to. Well, when you simplify the game plan and you get to 11 personnel and they're using 11 personnel and getting multiple in when you have Robert Foster in there sometimes, or who the running back is or who the tight end is. So it's not like they just have the same 5 skill position players on the field at all times. But by simplifying and running more common plays over and over, you're seeing what the defense is giving you. That allows you to practice those more throughout the week, and maybe that's creating some more continuity on this offense.
What did you think about you mentioned a minute ago you wondered how Josh was going to play. Well, he actually had his best game as a professional, and it does seem to me, and you think back, like last year's Minnesota game when they showed up, and it was kind of his coming out party where he hurdled a guy, and we've had very rare moments where this team's been on prime time, but they get on this big stage, and Josh kind of spreads his wings. You think that may be part of his deal? He plays better in big moments? Certainly you'd hope that's the case.
Well, I mean, that stacks perfectly up to the fact that he's really good in comeback situations, especially at the end of the fourth, in the fourth quarter, he plays his best ball. You get down to the red zone and there's points on the line, and his quarterback rating improves dramatically when most of the time quarterback's numbers will go the opposite way. When it's easier to put up points, when it's easier to move the football and not crunch time situations, they'll have a higher passer rating. Well, Josh's goes up in big situations. So it does not surprise me when you put him in prime time, he rises to the occasion. And, you know, we've seen Josh compete. And you mentioned this is their first primetime game this year. Last year in the Monday night game, he was not able to start because of injury. Well, this is the country's first shot at seeing Josh Allen. And now it's going to be hard for him to flip that script. I always say especially to young guys in the NFL, I always say it takes 4 seconds to make an impression and 4 years to change it. Hmm. Well, Josh Allen just made his impression on the NFL and to a lot of NFL spectators that don't watch the Bills on a week-to-week basis.
We're on the line with Eric Wood, Bills Radio Network color analyst, former Bills center, offensive lineman, former first-round draft pick. I want to talk about another guy making his initial impressions anyway, and it's another first-rounder, this year's first-rounder, Ed Oliver. Now Ed Oliver has sacks in, three straight games. What got into him? I have a theory, but I'd like to hear yours. What do you think changed for Ed Oliver, Eric?
Well, I almost wish I got to hear yours first.
But all right, let me go first. You know what? I think, and look, I will go first. Steve knows this.
Let me twist your arm.
I will always go first. Look, I think there's a lot going on with Ed Oliver. But I do think he is benefiting from the internal player-driven, as McDermott calls it, leadership on this team. And look, he was kind of, I don't know if he was lost, but he certainly wasn't a major contributor the first 6 weeks of the season, 7 weeks, almost 8 weeks of the season. Lost his spot in the starting lineup, still a regular part of the rotation. But the leadership on this team is so strong and so good and so forward-thinking that I think the message got to Ed Oliver, like, hey, get on board. The train is leaving the station. You better get on board. What do you think of that theory?
I think there could be some truth to that, and you're right. I think it's such a healthy sign for this team that a guy like Ed Oliver, who started every game, he started as a true freshman at Houston. This guy is not used to not being on the field at all times when he wants to be. When he went to a backup role, I honestly did not see a difference in his effort. And to me, that's a sign of, you know, that they drafted the right type of player to fit their scheme, but it also is a sign of the leadership and the respect that he has for the other guys in the room, because he could have got really upset about the Jordan Phillips thing, Jordan Phillips starting over him, and he could have sulked, and no one would have blamed him. He's a young guy. You know, he's always started. He's a top 10 pick. Of course he should be in the starting lineup. No one would have blamed him, but what he did was he got to work. He seems more comfortable in his role in the defense, so he's obviously putting in the time in the film room, and his effort's always been high all season. And it surprised me early in the season when I would go back and watch coaches' copies that Ed wasn't getting more numbers in the pass rush game, but, you know, he would beat a guy when the quarterback would be able to get rid of the ball really fast or would avoid him and there wouldn't be anyone else getting pressure. We often say, as an offensive line, it takes two guys to get a sack against you. If someone beats an offensive lineman, generally the quarterback avoids one and will get rid of the ball. If there's two guys there, there's way better likelihood of a sack. Well, I was seeing pressures that Ed was creating. He just wasn't getting the numbers. Was a defensive lineman or a defensive player in general, you always have to be going hard because you don't know when your opportunity to make that big play will be. In these last 3 weeks, those opportunities are coming to him, and he's being rewarded for all that effort.
I agree with both of us.
Well, so,
yeah,
here we go.
And I think those can coincide. I think, you know, it goes to Ed giving great effort all year, and the opportunities are coming more now. But it also speaks to the fact that effort stayed high because of the player-driven leadership and guys that can speak into an Ed Oliver.
So they win this game in Dallas. Their Sunday night game in Pittsburgh in 2 weeks gets flexed to prime time. And we asked you a little bit at the top, but what does that say about the Bills, the team, the players, how they feel about it, the fans and the national media and just give us a synopsis of what do you think that means?
Yeah, I think it's unbelievable for the franchise, and it's right where they wanted to be at this point. You know, you're in year three with this coaching staff, and you're building this roster. Okay, well now the primetime games are starting to come. You have the 9-3 record, and you know what? You go on Thanksgiving, and your top 10 draft pick quarterback plays his best game as a pro. All those things are so exciting, and you know what? When you have that much exciting stuff going on, then you get flexed and you get to play in these games and you get to keep the excitement going. And we were talking a little bit earlier, much less convenient for some of us traveling to call the game and whatnot. But that is a small sacrifice that's a small sacrifice for me to say, I am thrilled that the Bills are in prime time and I'm excited to call it. The energy in that stadium at Heinz Field will be incredible. And I'll use that as a segue to I cannot wait, and I can't imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like this Sunday in Buffalo.
Yeah, right. Gets us right to this week's game, Eric, and let's talk to you about that. Eric Wood, our guest, Bills Radio Network color analyst. Look, I know you root for the Louisville guys, but Lamar Jackson doesn't need your help. He is sensational, right? And it's a – boy, what a challenge for the Bills defensive coaching staff and the players to come up with answers for this guys, for this guy.
For sure. Yeah, Lamar Jackson is an absolute talent. He's like no one the NFL's ever seen because he's likely the most athletic player on the field at all times. He is in an offense that perfectly suits his skill set. Their offensive line is physical and all that, but you go when you look at Lamar, he's able to make great reads down the field now, and, man, he's just the total package of what he's doing right now. It's no doubt that he's the front runner for the MVP. Lamar Jackson, Bills fans will be rooting highly against him this week, and so will I, just based upon affiliation with the Bills. But this kid is so refreshing to be around, and I think some of the national media is seeing that now, the way he interacts through interviews and whatnot. But he is just – he's humble. He's a great kid. And he's been a lot of fun to know over the years and follow with his affiliation to Louisville. And I'm so excited he's having the success he is in the NFL. I just hope it's not a Bills expense this weekend.
Well, one of the guys that's coaching him is Greg Roman, former Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator. You played for Greg. Give us a little insight as to what his thought process is and how, you know, how unique this offense he's running is with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, so Greg Roman is one of my favorite coaches I ever played for. Thought he was extremely smart. I have a ton of respect for him. He's the type of offensive coordinator. He started as an offensive line guy, so he truly understands offensive line play. And not all offensive coordinators do, and that's not a knock on them. It's just if you haven't coached the offensive line specifically, it's tough. So I say that his run schemes have always been phenomenal. He puts guys in great positions up front, make sure you have great angles. He teaches you one way to do it. It's crystal clear, and you're seeing them just really move people up front in Baltimore right now. Their offensive line coach I also played for as well in Buffalo, Joe D'Alessandris. They were on separate staffs, but actually connected themselves in Baltimore. And I knew that would be a good match just based upon knowing both of those guys. But what Greg Roman was able to do is he has Colin Kaepernick and he takes him to the Pro Bowl as his offensive coordinator. He comes to Buffalo, takes Tyrod Taylor to the Pro Bowl, and now he's got Lamar Jackson on an MVP pace. He may go down as the best offensive coordinator for mobile quarterbacks in the NFL. And the reason because he is willing to adjust what his traditional concepts are. You know, he's a power run game, quick game in the passing game, rub routes. That's all his bread and butter. He didn't start as a read option guy, but what he's done is he takes concepts from any era, any age. We would watch old school. Who was it? It was like old school Dallas Cowboys offensive line. They called it the Landry Shift. When Greg was in Buffalo, he would show us these videos of the old Dallas Cowboys doing it, and then we would do it out of a pistol set, and everyone say, "This is new age football. It's you know, the college read option." I'm like, "No, we were watching 1976 Dallas Cowboy film, watching that play go." So I say all that. Greg is a fascinating guy. He is very, very multiple. He gets very game plan specific. So you see a lot of things from Baltimore's offense each week that you have never seen before. And he's also, as an offensive coordinator, he'll make it very simple. So they will be running power. Well, there was a jet sweep motion, a fake option after the power run, and it's all smoke and mirrors. And all everyone on offense has to do is focus on blocking power, but now he just got the linebackers looking all over the place. So Greg does a phenomenal job. If people have been able to catch Baltimore these last few weeks, they've been fascinating on offense. So it'd be a tough challenge for the Bills.
It is based on their ability to run, right, and their willingness to run. I was just looking it up. They've run it 455 times this year and passed it like 330 times this year. They average 208 yards per game on the ground. They are going to want to run here in Buffalo this Sunday, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. And I think I saw a team hasn't averaged over 200 yards a game on the ground since, was it Jim Brown time? Or
yeah, I saw that stat too.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's interesting,
So this is an insane pace they're on. When Greg was in Buffalo, we had the number one rushing attack in the league. It's not surprising that they have the number one rushing attack in the league. Just the production they have is phenomenal. But, yes, they are willing to run the ball a lot more than other teams. What will be interesting to me, though, with four games left in the regular season and is them likely getting a bye in the first round, how will they – are they going to keep running Lamar with the current pace they are right now? And, you know, he's still such a young player. You don't want to switch up his game. You want to let him develop and keep doing what he does best. But if you have Super Bowl aspirations, they go out the window if you're starting RG3 as opposed to Lamar Jackson. So it'll be interesting to see how many designed Lamar Jackson runs we see this week, because in Buffalo, we talk about it all the time. You know, those design runs to Josh Allen, they're great in crucial situations, but – man, we don't need to see a lot of them, because, you know, you got to have your starting quarterback week in and week out. Well, if we think, and if Bills fans think Brian Daboll calls him for Josh Allen a lot, wait till you see how many Lamar gets this weekend. If it's third and two and the running back is not in the pistol, I'll bet it's a QB sweep.
Because
they're getting the running back in position to block two. And because when you have 10 blockers and you're saying, we're going to leave Lamar Jackson against somebody one-on-one for a two-yard gain, they're liking their chances all day.
Yeah, I'm going to let them worry about that. Yeah, Lamar Jackson's got 955 yards on the season rushing. So
let them worry about that, Eric. I don't care how much they run them. I'm not going to worry about that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to tell you, we got this Twitter poll, Eric. I'm going to ask you, and I'll give you the choices as well when I ask you the question. But here it is right here. What's the best thing that happened to the Bills this last week in Week 13? Was it the Bills win at Dallas? Was it getting flexed to Sunday Night Football in 2 weeks? Or was it the Patriots losing to the Texans last night? What do you think the best thing is?
Well, and I'll say the best thing was the win on Thanksgiving, because that made everything else happen.
Right.
I'm not saying, well, it that created the excitement for the Patriots losing. You know, the Patriots are going to lose whether we won or not. Maybe we put a little pressure on them. But I don't think it bothered them up there that we won on Thursday. But the Thursday game, the Thursday win sets the tone and gets you the primetime game. And then that adds to the excitement, because now the Bills control their own destiny in the AFC East finally. Because if they went out and win at Foxborough, then they could win the AFC East, and then that's your chance to host a home playoff game. And I don't want to get too far ahead. We've got such a big game this week. But New England's also at Kansas City, and or they're playing against the Chiefs. I'm not sure home or away.
Foxborough,
Say it again?
It's in Foxborough.
Okay, so they're in Foxborough, but they play against Kansas City. That's not that easy of a game there. But in December – in Foxborough, they are extremely tough to beat, and their record over time says that. But and yes, is it likely that they beat Cincinnati and Miami? Yeah, so it's likely that the Bills need to win out and beat New England. But for the first time since I can remember, definitely since the first time since they beat us in Orchard Park earlier this season, we haven't controlled our own destiny, and it's fun to kind of look at the scenarios and get excited about it.
Eric, what do you got for a college game this week before you get to the Bills?
I am off for college until the bowl game. And,
oh, wow. Okay.
Right now, I'm only scheduled on the Independence Bowl, but I could potentially get some other work. I was supposed to be at the ACC Championship game this week doing some pregame stuff, and flights to Orchard Park could not get me in time. And so as tough as it is to fly to Buffalo, New York, it's actually got me out of a bunch of work this year, which is nice.
There you go.
Thanks, Eric. We'll see you this weekend. Thank you very much.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All righty.
Eric Wood, my partner on Sundays, the Bills Radio Network color analyst, former Bills guard, center. Why do we put him down as a guard? He's a center. I know he played some guard.
Guard former, center.
Right. Former first-round pick of the Bills in 2009 out of Louisville, out of Lamar Jackson School.
Yeah, that's –
I'll dive into the video tonight on Jackson, and I've seen him, and I watched yesterday, but, man, he's – Eric, he made the point. It's third and two. Who do you think's getting the ball, right?
Right. And it's a thing, too, because they're going to run the ball. They're averaging 200 yards rushing a game, so you got to think, okay, we got to stop the run first. And the problem is the guy – and this is why Lamar Jackson's going to be the MVP. If you force him to throw it, and he'll beat you. This isn't Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
You know,
no, you're right.
It's not RG3. This is a quarterback who's got a big arm, an accurate arm, and he can move around and buy all the time he wants. But I think there's no question this is an old-time football team that you have to start with, you know, the run game. You got to stop the run game. And it's really hard to do because, like you say, they got a lot of motion, a lot of things going on, and they've got, you know, Mark Ingram, who's playing extremely well for them and who's a big-time running back, and Lamar Jackson, who's also running the football for them. And all these other guys doing sweep jet motions, and they got a big physical offensive line. So they're tough. They're tough to contain in the run game. And it's the first time in decades where a team's got a shot at finishing the year at averaging over 200 yards a game rushing. That's where you start.
Yep.
But don't think that's the only thing you have to do.
We'll talk a lot about this game as the week moves on. We want to know on our Twitter poll, and you can weigh in on telephone as well, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can send in a tweet. We might get back to the tweet sheet. You can vote in the Twitter poll. We got 1,300 votes in already. Week 13 is complete now in the NFL. Well, tonight will be the last game. But what's the best thing that happened to the Buffalo Bills in Week 13? Was it the win at Dallas? Right now, 84% of you say that's it, and I agree. Was it the Patriots losing to Houston? 11% of you say that's the best thing that happened to the Bills. Or was it the flex of the Sunday night game? It's now Bills at Pittsburgh, December 15th on Sunday night. In Pittsburgh, 4% of you say that's the one. 2% have something else in mind. Give us a call and we'll talk it over. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
One Buffalo Studio. It's nice and warm and cozy in here, isn't it, Steve?
It is very nice.
It feels good to be in here.
Because it is snowing bad outside. Is it still?
I don't think it's snowing bad. Don't be a weather alarmist. What do you mean bad? Can we take the outside shot for the MSG viewers? That's not bad. What? That's nothing. What are you laughing at? That's bad snow.
That is not Chamber of Commerce weather right there, bro.
Don't go soft on me here.
That's not snowing bad. You could see the turf when
there's
the show
less
started.
Than an inch of snow out there. You're one of those weather alarm guys now. Why don't you get a job as a weatherman? It's wet snow. It's not even staying on the ground. Come on.
I could get a job as a weatherman.
They probably. Welcome back. Steve's done talking about the weather. We like to get that out of the way in the first half hour. We didn't do it. We got a good topic coming up today as we kind of celebrate what went on the last week here, week 13 in the NFL. What's the best thing that happened to the Bills, in or around the Bills, in the last week? What do you think? Let's work in a few phone calls here, Steve. Let's go to Kurt, who's at ECMC. Are you working? Are you in treatment, Kurt? What's the deal? Kurt? Yeah.
Kurt, hang on a minute.
Oh.
Oh, it was in his nurse or somebody.
Hi.
Hi, Kurt. How you doing? Are you okay? You being treated at ECMC?
It's taken for 57 years, and the Thursday night game was the best game I ever seen.
Really?
I'm at ECMC right now watching you guys.
Oh, thanks,
well,
Kurt.
Nice. Hey, Kurt.
Thanks
how are you?
Good you
to
feel
see
better.
You. I hope you're feeling
right.
Better.
Thanks, Kurt. Hey, I got a question, and that's the second guy.
How about that? First best game in 57 years.
Well, the other guy, we had an earlier call talking about 50-some years.
Yeah.
Do they not remember the early 90s? There were a lot of big games, good games back then, right?
The comeback game, the 51-3 AFC championship.
It was a great win last Thursday. But let's have a little historical perspective
here. I'll tell you what, though. This is a phenomenon that we should name. I don't know what it is. But when the team has been down for a while, and then you get back to the, or get into the conversation, and you kind of looks and it looks like it does here, where it's going to be sustainable. You got $90 million to spend. You're getting better. You got a guy. You got a you know, the stars are aligning. All the things that are coming down like they are for the Bills. It's got to be a nice drink of water for a lot of fans who have hung out for a couple of decades and haven't done it. Now, for these guys to say 50 years, that's when it's like, what?
That's my reaction.
And I think it's a little bit of that.
You just pulled your microphone off.
Pull my mic.
Dropping the mic.
Right. We get a lot of young kids who say, listen, this is my lifetime. We haven't even been to the playoffs, right? Or never gotten deep into the playoffs, never won a playoff game, never had a home playoff game, all of that stuff. So I get that from young people. But now you're getting the old-timers chiming in.
They forget about your teams.
Well, that's all right. They can do that. But I'm surprised that they didn't leave a bigger impression on them.
Let's go to I thought it was a big deal, is basically what you just said.
It was to me. I'll tell you what, though. This was a lot of fun this weekend.
It sure
I gotta
was.
Admit,
absolutely.
There's no question.
Lance in Buffalo. Hello, Lance. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Just a little historical perspective. I've been a season ticket holder for 29 years, and I agree that those games in the 90s, comeback game, was probably the best game I was ever at.
Right.
That's not why I called. What I called was two things. One, I want to take a little bit of an exception with what Steve said earlier about Tony Romo. Steve, I have immense regard for what you say, but I think it was more than just that one incident. There were numerous times I heard Mr. Romo sneering at our team, and I've seen it over the years that there are a couple of announcers who have an inherent bias, at least to me, against the Bills, specifically Chris Collinsworth. He has never liked the Bills. He's never had a nice thing to say about the Bills, but I'll leave that one alone. Second is...
you just dropped a bomb and said, but I'm going to leave that alone.
Right. Well, you'll comment afterwards, and that's fine.
Okay.
So, I've noticed a significant drop-off in the fan noise this season. I mean, it's been loud a couple of times, but this coming week, I really would like to call out all the fans to do their best to make noise. Fan assist is a real thing, and it really could be a benefit this coming week.
All right, thanks, Lance.
I have not noticed that, Lance. I'm there, obviously, every game. I have headphones on. There are times when I will take headphones off for a second during the game, when, like, Eric Wood's talking, or Sal's been known to talk once
to
in a while.
Test it.
Yeah, and I will see for myself, what's it sound without the headphones? And I'm always blown away by how loud it is. But you're telling me it's not as loud, Lance? Are you still there? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't believe so. I'm on the Bills sideline, tunnel end at the goal line, 15 rows off the field. And I've been there my whole career with the Bills. And it's definitely not as loud. Hmm. On the other hand, refuse to not bellow to the point of passing out. It's, you know, my wife worries that I'm going to stroke out at the game.
I get
it. I don't
it.
Know why I find
that's,
that funny.
That's funny. It's kind of funny. And I get it, Lance. And Lance, can you, if Lance is still there, do you have any, like, specific recollections of when guys have said stuff about the team? Or you said Romo was sneering at the Bills. That seems really strong, like strong language. I don't know if that's exactly what you meant, or if you can remember what time of the game it was so I can go back and listen to it and kind of figure out what you're talking about. Because, I mean, I did that job for a while, and I know a lot of people take it are very sensitive about what the announcer says, and I know that none of it's intentional. Do you have any specific examples?
I can't remember a specific example, and sneering is more of an intonation, a twist of the voice as opposed to necessarily – specific wording. I believe there was some wording. I was actually in Cincinnati with family watching the game on TV, and I remember the first quarter and a half of the game, I was getting pretty hot about Romo and the seeming bias against us, the seeming not taking us seriously until we started to actually do something against his team. And again, maybe I'm off base, maybe I'm overly sensitive, but the Collinsworth thing, I'm dead serious about.
Yeah, you're not the only person. I know somebody who chimed in maybe on the Twitter sheet. I'm not sure. Yeah, this from Jeff in Twitter. He echoes your thoughts about Chris Collinsworth. He doesn't like him in the booth. And that's the business that is. I mean, a lot of people like guys and don't like guys. It's a subjective, opinionated – it's a subjective opinion business when you talk about the guys who actually broadcast your games. And you know, theoretically, you're going to start getting a lot – more notable analysts when you start winning games. And that was the first time that Jim Nance and Tony Romo have done the Bills this year. And, you know, and it was in Dallas. I mean, that's Tony Romo's old team. So, you know, it's going to kind of get a little bit of a skewed point of view about the way he feels about the Cowboys because he owes so much to that franchise. So
and yet, when you were on CBS and you did Bills games,
I got called out the opposite.
Yes. How did that happen?
I think I overcompensated probably a little bit. I wanted to, because I knew that I'm doing that. You're doing, a guy like Romo, he's doing the game for the Dallas fans and the Buffalo games, not just the national fans. And you try and go down the middle. You try and be as, and for me, and when I always took the tack that if there was a play that happened that was significant, it always was a positive for one team and a negative for the other. And I always talked about the positive. So if I was negative on one side or the other, it was because I was talking about the other team because they were making more positive plays. And at least that's the way I tried to make it.
Hey, can I read that tweet? You mentioned Jeff on the tweet sheet. Jeff tweets this in, getting flex was the worst. Collinsworth, ugh. Maybe radio will reasonably be in sync for good commentary from Murph and Wood. I just want to say this, Jeff. Thank you I would advise you to tune in. Eric is great on the broadcast. And for Bills fans, it is the best source of broadcast of the Buffalo Bills games in-game. As far as the sync, you got to work on that a little bit. Look, everybody gets their TV from a different source now, right? People have satellite dishes. People have Verizon Fios. People have regular cable. People have over-the-air TV. There's countless ways to get a TV signal, so you can't sync it up to all those. The most success that I've heard people having, and I know people who do this. My nephew does it down in Charleston, South Carolina. You have a DVR on your TV, hopefully, maybe, and you sync it with that. You work the DVR. You might have to slow down your TV feed by 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah, and the TuneIn app that you have to use to listen to the game on radio when you're outside the listening area or when the game comes on, it's delayed by 30 seconds.
Okay.
And there's also, if you have Apple TV, I've noticed this in my own house where you'll see it on one screen and it'll be 30 seconds before you see it on the other screen. Within my own house, it hasn't been synced up depending on which unit you're using and the internet connection and how it works. So it's really difficult to sync it up. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's not that hard.
It's worth the effort.
It's not that hard.
Worth the effort though to hear Murph and Eric.
Especially
Wood.
Eric. Let's take a call here from Kathy in East Amherst. Hello, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hi guys.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
I just want to say I totally understand what you're saying about that Dallas game. It was amazing. And Thanksgiving and family in town to watch it was great. But I got to say the Patriots losing is way up there for me. We just moved back from Boston. My husband got transferred. We were out there for almost 6 years, and it was torture being out there with Patriots fans. Now it'd be great, right? We got a lot to brag about, but we were struggling a little bit. And so to be a Bills fan out in New England territory when we're not doing great, it was tough. So for them to lose, the arrogant things that they are, I got to love it. And I'm so glad to be back in Buffalo. Thanks.
We're glad to have you, Kathy. Thanks.
Welcome home.
Great to have you. Call here from Nelson in Buffalo. Go ahead, Nelson. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Okay, first of all, us winning Thanksgiving was destiny number one, but we wanted Baltimore to lose and New England to lose so we can control our destiny. And can I sing the new Buffalo fight song? It's a minute long. This is the year, boom, boom. This is the year, boom, boom. This is the year of Buffalo. We hear before, boom, boom. Back on the door, boom, boom. This year we coming for more. So hop along, boom, boom. Get on board, boom, boom. It take off. No days off, December, the playoff.
Boom, boom.
Nelson, I love it. That's awesome.
Thanks,
man. That's great.
Excellent. Boom, boom. I like it.
Boom, boom.
He needs a little musical accompaniment.
That's great, yeah.
Do you want to do I want to do a true or false, can I? Because there are a couple of these things I don't like. True or false. Is it brought to us by some? Yeah, Yancey's Fancy, right?
Right.
NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Number one, the Jaguars made a mistake with the Nick Foles signing. That was a piece that was up on ESPN. Nick Foles got hurt. Was on injured reserve for a while. Gardner Minshew came back. The Jaguars have gone 0-3 since Foles' return, losing to the Colts, Titans, and Bucks. Foles benched for Minshew at halftime of Sunday's home game. You found today, I guess, the Jags announced they're going to stay with Gardner Minshew.
It just appeared on my timeline on the app, and I don't know if it's real or not, but it seems to be. So we'll see. It says it's Pro Football Rumors.
Okay. So maybe it is true. Maybe it's not. But yeah. Did they make a mistake signing Nick Foles? I say true. That's not a guy you want to put your fortunes in. And look, they wanted to win now. I knew it. He was the best option they had, I guess. But to put a lot of faith in Nick Foles, even with his Super Bowl ring and everything, I think that's a mistake made by kind of a bad franchise, the Jacksonville Jaguars. There, that's three other franchises I've hammered so far today.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with signing Nick Foles. I don't think it's Nick Foles' fault that they, you know, his and his alone. I think if you've got issues, I haven't watched the Jacksonville Jaguars close enough, but the guy won a Super Bowl 2 or 3 years ago, a much different roster. He was very good, and maybe they're asking him to do things that he's not very good at. And if they're doing that, that's on the coaching. It's not on Foles. But they had to do something. And who would have thought Gardner Minshew would have been a better option at any point than Nick Foles until you get to this one? So, no, I don't think it was a mistake. You go with what you got. You make the best decisions you can, and you make them work. And the fact that Nick Foles has not played the way Jacksonville envisioned he would that doesn't preclude the fact that it was the right decision at the time. You can't tell the future. So make the best choice for your team. Go with it, buy in, and then live with it. You got to make it work, and I think that's the making it work part that they're struggling with. So what? That's all you got to. They had to sign somebody.
Yeah. One more from NFL True or False. This is ridiculous. From Yahoo Sports, Peter Schrager. Brian Flores has been the most impressive coach in 2019. Dolphins coach. 3-9 Miami Dolphins, and their head coach is the most impressive coach this year.
Do you say false to that? I think I'm
I'm saying false. You're looking for coach of the year candidates, impressive coaches, look right down the hall here, ladies and gentlemen. The 6 wins to 9, and they're going to get probably at least a couple of more. Brian Flores, 3 wins. Nice job, coach. Great job. 3-9. Good job.
There's a ton of guys in that conversation that are not Brian Flores. The one you just mentioned, Sean McDermott, John Harbaugh deserves a lot of credit. Kyle Shanahan deserves a lot of credit. Good grief. Bill Belichick, with an offense like they've got, being 10-2, deserves a lot of credit.
No, he doesn't. Come on.
But Brian Flores?
Yeah. Not Brian Flores, but not Bill Belichick either.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'm saying. It's a long list of guys that go down before you get to Brian Flores, in my opinion. So I got to agree with you on that.
We're taking a break. We're coming back. One Bills Live presented by Kalida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Okay, so what did we learn? Brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction rental company of the Buffalo Bills. We had Brian Baldinger on the show today from NFL on Fox. Saw the Bills game against Denver, and he likes what he sees from Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Here's what he said today.
Now, I like everything about Josh. You know, and the thing that I think jumps out at you is just the level of poise that he plays with. I mean, he's in control, and he's very calm, and, you know, he rarely makes a mistake and then, compounds it with another mistake. Rarely. And, you know, you go back to even his rookie year last year and some of the plays that he would try to make and extend. And, you know, I mean, he doesn't try to do a lot of that nonsense right now. I mean, he's taking those plays out of his system. And so I like the way that he works with the offensive line and the way, you know, he's just calm. His feet are calm. He knows where he's going with the ball. He really, really likes John Brown and Cole Beasley a lot. He likes their intelligence, the way they prepare, the way they study, and it shows. It shows on Sunday right now.
Good to have Brian Baldinger with us. Steve, tomorrow's show, we got our buddy Kyle Brand, who will nice. Give him a chance to take a victory lap. Not only did he predict the Bills would beat the Cowboys on
guaranteed
this show.
Guaranteed it.
We'll have Kyle Brand with us tomorrow. Joe Ferguson going to join us tomorrow as well. Today was a good show, really, right? Getting stuff to off to a good start.
Yeah, it's kind of a long week because this isn't like a football right. Monday where we got the game to recap and got to start looking forward pretty early in the week.
Yep. All right. Thanks to our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon, One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.